DeLong? Decker?
Here.
Howell? DeBoard?
Here.
And Mayor Prisanka?
Here. Persons to be heard. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay, here we go. Michelle Bates?
Michelle is here.
Michael, sorry, Michael. We'll be doing our invocation for us.
You bow your heads and let's pray. Father God, we're thankful tonight that we could gather here for the Borough Assembly meeting. And I would pray and I ask, Father, that each of us, we'd pray for Steve and Julie and Patty, Maya and Jim, Ann and David, who's not with us. Lord, we ask that you bestow wisdom upon them, Father. Continually bless them with wisdom to guide us in all the business matters at hand. We're grateful for them. We thank you for their service to us. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, we have Hague Immersion speak on 13B noise. So, Hague, are you on the line? Mr. Immersion, are you on the line?
I am, Steve, yes.
Okay.
I would prefer to put it under 13 if it works for you.
Absolutely, yeah. You bet. Just wanted to confirm that's when you want to go. Okay, next on our list, Tyler Nelson. Tyler.
Tyler Nelson, 1055 Zamovia Highway. Good evening, Council. I have been the wife of a law enforcement officer for 10 years now, and as I listened to your criticism of our local department during the January 22nd meeting, I took your words as a personal attack. You questioned whether the officers were doing enough, and I recalled every parent-teacher conference, t-ball game, Christmas concert, and birthday dinner I've attended by myself. Surely they don't expect me to give more. Surely that was enough. You asked if they were making the best use of their time, and I recalled years of night shift and only seeing my husband for an hour a day, if at all. He would work a full shift, then an additional 2 hours, because inevitably a call would come in. Then later he would go in to finish reports or to fix dispatch radios. So you can question time management. Meanwhile, I received little time at all. There was a lot of talk regarding small town community policing and being present in the public, to which my husband is a big advocate for. You had big ideas about programs and ideal community involvement, yet you neglected to ask about officer safety or how our new officers were coping with the dynamics of small town policing. Once, after making an arrest, my husband's life was threatened. The individual told him the next time he saw him, he was going to shoot and kill him. 2 days later, that same individual parked his truck outside of our home where my family sat inside. That was the longest 4 minutes I have ever known. A similar situation, an upset individual made threats against my life and the lives of my three children. A threat credible enough that a judge issued us a restraining order. The following week, that individual sat waiting for me outside the dentist office. And as I left, he charged at me from across Front Street. He threw his hands in the air, yelled and screamed. I was terrified and certain I was living my last moments. On another occasion, my five-year-old son was informed in his kindergarten classroom that Jimmy wasn't his real father by a teacher's aide retaliating from a traffic citation she had been issued the week prior. So you can ask your officers to be more approachable, more accessible, more publicly present, but you are also asking them and their families to be vulnerable, something I'm not sure you had considered. I need you to know that there's more that goes into police work than numbers on a report will ever tell you. And in my experience, the individuals who find their way into this line of work do so because they have a sense of duty towards the communities they serve. They don't do this job to make numbers. They do this job to make a difference. You all sat on your podium last month and you criticized their ability to do their job and you questioned their training and experience. One of you offered words of support. None of you offered words of encouragement. and not a single one of you said thank you. Not a single one. Tonight, you get to go home and feel cozy and safe in your beds because an officer is patrolling your neighborhood. I get to go home and wonder if tonight's my husband's last shift. Is tonight the night that some crazy, after hearing his counsel speak critically of their department, feels justified in his decision to ambush my husband? Is tonight the night I start raising 3 kids on my own? These are the thoughts that will go through my head every time my officer puts on his vest. And I would give anything, absolutely anything, to have the luxury of being concerned about traffic stops or seatbelt use. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
James Nelson.
James Nelson, 1055 Zemovia Highway. Good evening, Mayor, Council Members, Borough Manager. I had the pleasure of being a Wrangell police officer for 8 years, but tonight I come to you as a private citizen of the city of Wrangell with some concerns after what I heard at your January 22nd meeting. The current Wrangell police officers are top-notch. They truly do have what's best for the community in mind. I've seen them go above and beyond without the slightest bit of gratitude. Some of the questions I'm hearing coming from this assembly are appalling. You're upset of an 82% uptick of traffic stops? Well, I find it disheartening that you haven't thanked the officers for going out there every day and night doing their jobs to the best of their ability, putting in the extra hours, missing family events, dinners, and so on, showing the compassion and sympathy to a family member that just lost a loved one, facilitating a domestic violence arrest of a combative suspect in the most professional manner. I know they expect to be treated that way from the suspect, but when it comes from here, I'm finding it very disheartening to hear. These officers are not out there trying to bust every person they see. They're out there trying to keep every person they see safe. Traffic stops are an absolute necessity. I keep hearing about stats. You know what stats you can never get? The stats of the crimes that were never committed. The multiple fatality DUIs that didn't happen. The child that wasn't run over. All because our police officers were out patrolling, running radar, making these traffic stops, and just being visible for the people to see. This is what proactive policing prevents. This is the community policing the majority of your citizens of Wrangell want and expect. I would never tell an outboard mechanic the best way to repair a motor, a school teacher the best way to teach, a fisherman the best way to fish. No, the mechanic, the school teacher, the fishermen are the expert in their fields. And I trust them to do the job and do the job right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Don, you are down for 9A. Do you want to wait to 9A to speak specifically on it?
Yeah.
Okay. And Scott Eastoff. Scott.
I'd like to actually have Hank talk first. Is there a way to do that?
You're down to speak now. You can wait till the item. You can wait till the item if you want.
I'll wait till 13B.
Okay, 13B. Okay. All right, consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda as submitted.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Yes, I had a question on item 6B, the approval of the 2 tax-free days. It violates our code, and I asked help from our borough manager and borough clerk. And with your permission, if they could speak to that.
Sure.
Sure. So in the code, it actually says that the days will be, the two tax-free days, one will be held in June, and the other one will be held in September. And it's my understanding that it's been happening to where they're done in May and October for quite some time. So after the borough manager and I spoke, I already put together an ordinance for the next agenda to come forward, so to change that. So by approving this tonight, I don't see that it's an issue. The intent is there. And it's my understanding also in talking to Carol that the public, long time ago when this our code was adopted for this provision, they have wanted it for these two these two dates, so in May and October.
Okay.
And if we did delay, we wouldn't have the code in place until the end of March, and that would probably give them just 2 months to plan. So
I don't think it would hurt anything because, I mean, they're still going to go on with their plans. This is just something that...
Just a housekeeping.
Well, however, the businesses plan, that's who plans for it. So, because they have to order extra materials and such for the public. So, I really do see this as a housekeeping item. I really don't think that it needs to be delayed.
Yeah, so we won't pull it then.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the consent agenda? Hearing none, pull vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Conflicts of interest. I need to report that I had ex parte communication with Merton. Regarding his item, I sent him the revised language for the noise ordinance. That was through email, and it was only myself, and I actually had CC'd, I believe, the city manager on that as well. So I just need to disclose that. Any other conflicts of interest?
I have one on, I work for Wrangell Medical Center in regards to, can't find it now.
11D.
Which one?
11D.
11D. That is the
Medical Center Board.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't see. Do you envision any problems that you can think of with
no.
that? Okay. With the approval of the assembly, I'm going to say that's fine for you to remain there. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Moving on. Let's go to the borough manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you can see, there is a plethora of information under my report tonight, mostly reports by other members of the staff. There's one item missing here, the updated travel report you had requested additional information on. I still have not gotten my travel stuff submitted for reimbursement, so I apologize. I'll make sure that that's on the next agenda for you. But I don't know if there's anything here anybody particularly would like additional information on. Otherwise, the information is there for you. I do want to make a comment on the water report. So what I included this time is the weekly updates we get from our water supervisor. Rather than having a compilation of those in an agenda packet, would you prefer that those just get forwarded to you via email as they come? I think those are very helpful information, and I don't know why we haven't been giving those to you previously. It's just much better weekly updated information. So we'll start forwarding those to you regularly.
I think if they came as instead of putting them in the packet, because your report was fairly thick.
Robust.
Yeah. Took a while to work through.
And Wayne forwarded this today, and this is the graph that's in front of you. This shows 2015 through 2018 comparisons. So that was just a new bit of information he provided today.
Can you just sort of on that, Lisa? I see that we're actually trending significantly under 2016 in our usage.
Yes.
And again, does that have to do with our...
I think most of that has to do with the fact that we've taken care of our leak issues. But with regard to 2016, I don't know if... I don't see Amber still here.
I think Roland left.
Okay, well, anybody that knows anything apparently is gone at the moment. I apologize. I'll try to get some interpretation of this for you with regard to the comparison there.
Yeah, I'm assuming it has to do with just increased or improved cleaning.
Yeah, specifically now that I'm imagining this trend for this year when you put 2019 in here will be much different once you see all the water recapture that we're doing. And Mr. Mayor, Public Works Director's
Roland, just a quick question on the water graph. the 2018 as compared to, say, 2016, significant reduction in our overall usage there. Is that due to the improved cleaning of the filters?
Not where you see it go down significantly. Yeah. I think that was the leak detection. In the 2019, you're going to see considerable.
Looking at this.
Yeah, I'm looking at this one. Yeah.
2015 through 2018.
Yeah, when they found those leaks in May, June, July, and started fixing them, I think that's where you're seeing that.
Okay. Well, that's a great trend.
And then the water recapture project, we just finished a month and a half ago. You should start seeing on the new graph pretty quick.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a couple of other things I would like to add. Just Alaska Municipal Managers Association has offered a scholarship for me to be able to go to the Northwest Municipal Managers Conference at the end of April, beginning of May. However, we have a couple of budget work sessions scheduled at that time. If I can find suitable replacement dates and offer those, I may try to do that. I don't want to force the issue, though, because our budget, especially given what's going on, is extremely important. But if I can come up with a couple of alternative dates to be able to take advantage of that scholarship, do you mind me offering those up to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to also let you know, carry over from Wrangell Medical Center under our ownership, during the time that Wrangell Medical Center was a borough-owned entity, there were two Human Rights Commission complaints filed, and those are ongoing. And I just wanted to let you know that the insurance company that we had, the insurance policy that we had at the time, is covering those complaints. And they, prior to the transfer from the borough to Search, hired Bob Blasco to represent the insurance company with regard to those complaints. I just want to make sure that you know I am in contact with the attorney about this stuff on a regular basis about what's going on, and I'm tracking these things. And if there is information that needs to come up, I will certainly provide that to you in an executive session. But I just wanted to let you know those are ongoing, and we are, I guess what I would say, in a discovery process right now with some information that has been obtained, personnel job descriptions that were requested by the commission have been provided to the commission, and once that information is reviewed by them, we'll know what next steps are with regard to these complaints. Obviously, it's not anything I can speak about in public, but I wanted to let you know that that is ongoing, and we're tracking and addressing that. We will also talk more about this under the Mayor and Assembly Business with the AML State Budget Update, but the mayors across the state at AML agreed to do town hall meetings regarding the budget, potential budget, state budget impacts at the local level. And we are scheduling ours here for March 6th. And again, we'll talk about that more, but I just wanted to let the community know that that meeting will be on March 6th at the Nolan Center. And I'm not sure at 6 o'clock. So please, anybody that is interested in that, we really encourage you to come and participate, because we are going to need as much public input as possible. And the other thing I'm very sad to have to announce, I'm happy for our employees, but I'm very sad to have to announce two retirements. Our accounts payable person, Betsy McConaughey, has announced her retirement at the end of April, and our police chief, Doug McCloskey, has announced his retirement. He is being very flexible with us. He has indicated he is ready to go as early as May, but depending upon what our police numbers are, he is willing to stay on as late, potentially, as September to make sure that we aren't short-staffed. So we will be replacing, hopefully replacing both of those positions. I will be forming a search hiring committee for the police chief, and I'd like to see at least one member of the assembly on that. So that's something I'd like the mayor and the assembly to talk about, who would be on that. I'd like to have at least one member of the public. I'd like to have a member of be nice to have someone from law enforcement from the region, not necessarily from here, to provide a little bit of objective opinion. And I'm trying to think of who else.
Community member.
I think a member of the community, but I'll be putting together a hiring committee. So just to let you know, that's something that'll be coming shortly.
You might think of EMT or fire.
Oh, yeah.
Someone from that area.
Thank you. So anyway, congratulations to those staff who are ready and moving on to the next phase of their life, but very much a bummer and going to be a loss for the city and borough of Wrangell.
Any questions for Lisa?
Thank you for putting in the delinquent accounts for some of the departments, and hopefully we'll get those every month.
Yeah, it'll be a monthly report.
Okay.
Yes,
And the ports and harbor, the accounts receivable is a large chunk of money. Are all departments using the same collecting policies?
I'm going to get back to you on that. I'll find out.
Okay. On the collection policy, does it go through one central, or does it go department to department?
It's department to department.
Okay, so we probably need to talk about that and see if we can centralize that. I know Lee's on the line, so maybe he can...
I don't know if he's called in yet.
Oh, he may not have called in. Okay.
That's a good... There are some nuances, because there are differences in the way money is collected, the amount of time that people have to do stuff, but it is each individual department that is following up on that, I guess I would say. So the port and the harbor takes care of their own collections. However, at a certain point, they should actually be written, go through the official write-off a process, and then when the borough decides to write something off, then stuff goes to collection after that. So, but our Sherry Cowan in our finance department works on the collection of utilities, and we have a mechanism for dealing with that. If stuff isn't paid in a certain amount of time, we shut off the utilities. So that normally spurs people to come in and pay their bill. So there are different methodologies that are used in different areas. Of course, with vessels on the harbor side, we have the ability to do impounding. So I'm not sure that we could just centralize it to one singular person in all areas, but we certainly need to talk about those policies and look at where we can sync things up.
Yeah, this is where we get into trouble, when we let accounts...
go too delinquent.
Right.
Yes. Understood.
Any other questions for Lisa? Okay. Clerk's file.
Not a whole lot. I just want to remind the Assembly, I put it in the file, that we will be having a work session on the 7th, a joint work session with the Port Commission at 6 o'clock here, but I'll remind you. Also, I put it in here, but I just want to say thank you so much to Cindy Crary for filling in for me at the last meeting. She did a wonderful job, and all the backup stuff afterwards, she did great. So I was very happy. And I listened in on that meeting, and it sounded like she did pretty good. So.
We have a hard time taking a vacation.
So also, we did receive 38 boxes from Search. It's their payroll files from when the Wrangell Medical Center was active. And so I... almost got through all of those today to archive them using the city's records retention schedule. And so those will be going to the records center. And yeah, so I know
for 50 years.
For 50 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Other than that, that's all I have.
Any questions for Kim?
Oh, Mr. Mayor, may I
have
one do-over? I just wanted to let you know, we received a really great email, actually, from a member of the public today asking a number of questions about the power and diesel run stuff that's going on. And we had gotten a couple of public notices out there that went on our website and on our Facebook page, But we will be following up here with additional information, and we will probably be using this list of questions to help guide us through providing that next bit of update. And so I just wanted actually to thank Penny Allen for sending in that list of questions and let the public know that there will be a SEPA board meeting actually this Thursday in Ketchikan, and we'll have additional information to get out to the public following that board meeting as well. So stay tuned in the next several days to week for additional updates.
Perfect. Anything else, Kim?
No, thank you.
Okay. So we're on to mayor and assembly business. Does anybody have any business and reports for us? Julie.
Well, to start with, I wanted to say thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Nelson for their thoughtful comments. I think that they'll definitely be in my mind as we move forward. So I appreciate you coming down here and saying that. Also, I was at Southeast Conference with Lisa, the manager, and it happened to be when the governor's budget came out. So it was quite an exciting meeting in a way, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about what exactly is planned with the budget. There's just a lot of pots of money or programs, and there's not, you know, there's some questions still that haven't been answered. But, you know, significant cuts, $1.6 billion in cuts. the ferry system, of course, I think, what was it, like 68% of the budget was cut or something like that?
75%.
Yeah, it's very significant, and plans to be tied up in October. It's something that affects Southeast in a major way, and Southeast Conference was sort of formed on getting the ferry system up and running in the first place, so it's kind of part of their legacy, and they've been working over the last few years on some type of transition or reform. I think most people understand there's problems with the ferry system, and the numbers are going in the wrong direction. They have been for a long time. So they've been trying to work toward a solution. I bring this one up because it kind of came up in our workshop earlier. I think the governor's budget, because it's so drastic and talks about tying up ferries and divesting the ports and things like that, it's going to force a lot of issues. And maybe, I mean, I'm hopeful that maybe it actually gives momentum to this reform initiative. But there's a lot yet to be seen how it's going to play out. The feedback I'm getting from a lot of legislators is that, you know, the budget that the governor introduced is not going to be the final budget. It'll be somewhere in between. But it's anyone's guess what that means. So anyway, there are a number, I mean, there's the whole agenda for Southeast Conference is pertinent to Wrangell, so I won't go through everything, but I just wanted to highlight that.
Mr. Mayor, may I add to the Southeast Conference update?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that ended up on the agenda actually at the last minute, and I'd like to think I had a little bit to do with this, was the work that the two Ketchikan communities, the borough and the city, and Petersburg and Wrangell had by sending out the letter asking to do a shipping summit in January. Mm-hmm. And in my research of information, I got in touch with Robert Venables at Southeast Conference, and he put me in touch with the director of the chamber in Juneau. And the Chamber of Commerce in Juneau has been working this issue for a while, and actually in December had a meeting with the Assistant Attorney General. And the Attorney General is involved in this shipping issue because there was an antitrust component when Northland decided to get out of the business. And AML said they wanted to purchase Northland. There would have been no competition, and so that's where the antitrust came in. And essentially what ended up happening is the Attorney General for Alaska required that AML facilitate competition with themselves. And that's when Samson came into the market. And so at the last minute, the AG's office got added to the agenda for Southeast Conference. and the AG gave a presentation, and it was our understanding that so this the competition the requirement for competition in Southeast for shippers that requirement ends. I can't remember what the name of that letter is, but that requirement ends at the end of September. And our understanding was is that that requirement, the AG's office was not going to renew that requirement. But they announced at Southeast Conference they believe that things were taking a little bit longer to get organized with shipping based on this new program here in Southeast, and that they were intending to extend that letter, extend the requirement of competition. So both Juneau and Wrangell have directed our lobbyists to work very closely together to ensure that that competition letter is extended another 5 years. And I actually am waiting for an updated phone call from our lobbyist, Ray Matuszewski. He is scheduling a call with myself and he and the AG this week so that we can further discuss this issue. So that was a big component of one of the things that was discussed. Roland Howell, our Public Works Director, also attended Southeast Conference, and he attended the CSWA meeting, the Southeast Alaska Waste Solid Waste Association. So he can certainly provide an update to anybody on that. We actually went, Mr. Howell and myself and Wayne McCullen from the Water Department, you know, a day prior to Southeast Conference. Ketchikan had their annual lobbying trip going on, and they invited us to participate in that. And they did an inspection of Juneau's new water treatment facility, which we tagged along on, and it was outstanding. Their water treatment system is incredible, actually, and would be something that we would be very interested in. Unfortunately, I think at this point we are locked into the DAF plant because we have to use the design that was submitted as part of the grant and loan projects we have. But it was good to see a different type of technology, that's for sure, and one that
there's different water though.
They do. I don't know if you want to.
It's almost exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yep. It's almost exactly the same.
So the difference is that Juneau has different water sources. They are only treating the water that comes from this one reservoir that they have that's also a small hydro project. Most of their water comes from a well field that they have in the downtown area. So they don't have to treat that water the same way that they're treating this water that's coming from the reservoir. But the water coming from the reservoir is very similar to our water here in Wrangell. So it was just very interesting to see this technology. We also went and sat in on a port discussion about ports and cruise management and what's going on in Juneau. And then we had a meeting with the city manager and the mayor of Juneau and discussed a number of different issues. And then we actually got to sit in on a meeting with Ketchikan and Ada that they had about the Ketchikan shipyard and moving forward there. And it looks as if what Ada is going to do is act as a bank, essentially, and provide loans for companies that are interested in having work done to revitalize their vessels or build new vessels. And so that's something that we're going to watch very closely and see if it might not be applicable to other smaller shipyards as well. So just something to keep in mind. Very, very interesting stuff, to say the least.
Okay. Don, you wanted to speak on 9A. I'm going to just mention that I didn't realize that this was under our usual time as assembly members to speak. I'm going to allow you to do it. I'm going to get a little bit of leeway there, but just know that it's not normal.
It's
but
not
thank
normal.
You. No.
Well, I'm not either, so that's all right.
I've decided to wear my hat tonight. Yeah. At any rate, I wanted to tell Lisa that Juneau has the same water sources as we do. It's rain. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history lesson. In 1983-84, Thomas Bay Power Authority became an entity. There are still people living in this town that worked on that construction project that supplies her power. I was sitting there on that diocese when we changed to SEPA, and it was stated by a member on the assembly at the time that Thomas Bay Power Authority was a bad idea when it started, and it's a bad idea today. That's just prior to SEPA taking over. But it's funny because Thomas Bay Power Authority did exactly what it said it was going to do. It had a 25-year shelf life, that it was going to supply all the power needs for this community and Petersburg in order to supply all the power that was required. Prior to the power, the hydropower coming in here, our kilowatt hour rate to the consumer was between 40 and 50 cents per kilowatt. When Thomas Bay Power Authority took over and started supplying hydroelectric power, that price dropped substantially. I'm sorry, I couldn't find exactly what that price is, but that price that the city buys it for, coming from Thomas Bay Power Authority, hasn't changed in years. We are now enjoying 11 cent power rate per kilowatt hour. The only thing that has changed right now, I understand we're running diesels again. It doesn't bother me even one little bit. You stop and think of the things that weren't here in 1984 that are here today. They didn't have computers. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have a lot of the infrastructure that was here in this town that uses power. Every bit of it. And 1984 is longer than 25 years ago. So that entity, which we have representation on the board of SEPA, has outdone and outperformed what it said it was going to do. And I think that's a very important thing to realize with the members of this community and the members of the people that sit on the board. We should have nothing but respect for what they have accomplished over the years, and we should thank our lucky stars that we probably, even if there was a surcharge for a diesel run, will not hit the 40 and 50 cent per kilowatt hour price. The only thing that has changed is we've had bad weather, meaning we have lack of rain. To us, that's bad weather. Or to the power entity, that's bad weather. And it's probably happened before in years. But, you know, I have no idea how much extra power that we are using today compared to 1984. But I am sure that it's a substantial amount. And I would like to say thank you to Thomas Bay Power Authority and SEPA for supplying our power, even if there is a little bit of a slide right at this particular point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Okay. Is it the person's beard?
No, this was he spoke specifically to an item number, so. But you weren't here when we had persons to be heard. Do you have a comment on something that we have here, or have you looked?
Well, I just wanted a person to be heard, and then I'll leave.
Okay, we've already done persons to be heard.
What time do you guys start?
We started at 6:30 tonight.
Okay.
But Murph, I'm more than willing.
Well, you made an exception for him.
Yes, Murph.
I'm more special than you are.
Murph. Okay, I'm going to try to. Murph, if you'd like to come up and be heard, please feel free. I'll give you 3 minutes, sir.
I won't take long.
Okay, thank you.
It has been a while since I've been to these things. I used to come a lot. Anyway, what I want to talk on is I read in the paper, and this is correct maybe, that you've done away with the prayer before the meeting.
No, we had a prayer this evening.
Did you?
Yeah.
Is that in the works?
It's you can come down and sign up for the invocation on our sheet, and we have a special spot for an invocation.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to inform you guys my opinion about the importance of prayer.
Okay.
It has kind of become just kind of a routine thing, but it's in 1789, the same day the wording of the First Amendment had been finalized. Congress called on President Washington to declare a national day of prayer and thanksgiving. The proclamation stated that it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. That kind of puts in what I want to say about the importance of the prayer, that we want to give thanksgiving and ask for guidance and give thanksgiving, at least go through the process as is the tradition we've always had. Now we kind of overlook it a lot. But this country is founded as a Christian nation. That's why we have Christian rules, the Constitution. And the freedom of religion is it's the Christian religion. The Baptists and the Seventh-day Adventists and the Catholics, you can be free to be one of them, but not any one. We're not talking about Muslims, the Indians, India, whatever they are.
Okay. I want to thank you for coming down and sharing your...
But one more real quick.
Okay, really quick.
Yeah, well, atheists are important here too, because, see, that's a religion. I'm asked, can you see a God? And I say, no, but I can see His works. I say, well, can you see wind? No, but you can see His works. So they're both inherently religious. You have to have faith to believe in either one.
Okay. Thank you, Murphy. I appreciate you coming down.
For the record,
Steve Murphy.
Steve, okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more real quick.
No, that's it.
Okay, well, I appreciate your patience.
You bet. Thank you. All right. I'm going to speak just on the SEPA issue. There's been a buzz of activity recently regarding our diesel runs, and we're trying to prolong the amount of hydro reserve we have, given that this time of year we can find ourselves running our generators at near capacity or having peaking issues. So recently we have 8 megs, and we ran at 8.2 for a while, and we required some peaking assistance for various things. So we started with a partial run to slow our draft of the Tyee Lake, and then we upped that run both with hours, but we've been maintaining the same number of machines operating. I believe we've gone or have talked about going to 3. Let's just stay in at 2, Rod?
Okay. 2.
But our goal right now for the north end is to try and maintain as much hydro as we possibly can in Tyee, so that if we have an issue with our generators, we have some backup. We have a little bit of reserve there. Basically, we are bumping up against what the board set as our lower limit. And we're getting a bit of pressure to lower that limit down. And Lisa and I are going to meetings tomorrow, and our contention is that we want to be very cautious about lowering that, because we can only go so low. And once we go to the bottom, our license doesn't allow us to go any lower. So we could run up in a situation where we have no reserve left in the reservoir, and we have an issue with our generators, and it's cold. So it's about the worst time of year for us to be in this position. Our contention moving forward and into the discussion about a true-up, which means basically that SEPA is going to pay for our diesel and for our operator, is what we're hopeful for, and our ratepayers will not be impacted, is that this has been exacerbated by weather, but we made decisions to sell power south down to a certain level. So through the summer, right up to the mid-September, we were selling power south, and that drew our reserve.